Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm very excited about my guest today. It's none other than Big Brother 26 house guest and finalist for America's Favorite Player, Angela Murray. Angela, how are you?
Hi, Sharon. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm a big fan. I was tweeting about you all summer, so I was like, I have to talk to Angela if I can.
Thank you so much, Sharon. I'm honored. Honestly, I'm honored.
Well, first of all, Angela, how are you sort of adjusting to real life? You're like a month out. Are you back to normal? Or are you still sort of adjusting to everything? How's it going?
So I feel like I will never actually be normal again. I thought coming home, I'm adjusting just fine, just to answer your question directly. But I thought coming home to my little sleepy town, you know, I just didn't believe that people would watch the show and recognize me. But it's like, no matter where I go, people are recognizing me. And it's kind of like a surreal feeling. It feels really good, but at the same time, it was so unexpected. So,
well, not for us, Angela. Us watching you, you're just made for TV. You are TV gold in my mind. So this is why people, you know, love to come up to you. But are the interactions usually positive, or have you had anything bad?
Nothing bad. The only thing that was kind of funny was I was at my husband's doctor's office, and this lady comes and she is running. I'm not even kidding. She is running with her stroller. Her child is like hanging on for dear life. You should have seen. It was like being on a motorcycle. Like the face is all going back. And she is just trying to get you. She goes, I knew it was you. I knew it was you. And she goes, and she was so honest. She goes, I didn't like you at first. I did not like you. But then you grew on me and I understood you and I love you. And I was like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, it ebbs and flows depending on, you know, who you're rooting for that week or who wins. And I just was talking to Quinn about this. It's like, you know, I know some people can be polarizing, but at the end of the day, I just love good TV. And Angela, you make good TV. So,
oh my gosh, thank you so much. I think truly it is, you know, we were prepared. CBS really does prepare you for, you know, coming out and what to kind of expect. There are going to be people, no matter what your game looks like, no matter who you are as a person, you're going to have this group over here that just disagrees with you and that you did nothing right. And then you're going to have this group over here that just adores you, loves you, and just wants to like tell you that and that they're fans. So you just can't please everybody. So you really just have to go in there and live your dream.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't please anyone. Yeah. Even me with this podcast, I get some haters sometimes.
Sure.
But yeah. So what, why Big Brother? Like, were you recruited or did you apply? Remind me. Cause I don't know if I know.
So definitely applied. I know the rumors are swirling that I'm like this CBS plant, but that is totally illegal. And depending on the merit of which, I mean, you always have like that, you know, that we've had twins on the show before, nobody knew, but I mean, that was all, you know, logistics, whatever. But as far as the plant goes, no, I wasn't coming in there as a plant. I definitely applied. I'm a huge fan of Big Brother. If my actions didn't show that, I don't know what could. You know, I wanted to freaking be there, Sharon. And
I know
that every and each week. No, I've been watching since season 12 and it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I absolutely love reality television. Not all of it, but a lot of it I do. And, you know, when I can catch it, or, you know, I live where it snows. So, you know, I'm not going outside a couple months of the year. So, you know, I'll just kick back, get cozied up and go along for the ride and live vicariously through everybody. But I was done with that. I really wanted to, even at my age, I wanted to experience it for myself. And I have to say, like, people like Ceree and Mama Felicia last season really inspired me. And I was like, you know what? They did fabulous, in my opinion. And if they can do it, so can I. And they're just like a huge inspiration to me. And then that is when I got really serious. And I was like, that's it. Age 50, I'm doing this. Come hell or high water, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live this dream. And if not now, when? And if not me, then who? And that is just what I did. I just went after it. I manifested it. I worked really, really hard getting those applications in, trying to convey who Angela is as a person. And I got a text message and then a call. And then, you know, it just is history.
Yeah. No, but you make a good point, because on this show, I feel like anyone over, let's say, even 40, 45, it's like they either go out first or they make it pretty far. And you winning that first HOH, I was like, oh, okay, Angela will be around for a little bit. Because I like to see like a diversification of age and people go far that aren't just, you know, the same sort of prototype that we see all the time. So yeah, I was very excited when you won that first HOH, because I was like, okay, she'll be around for a minute, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully. I mean, I was in survival mode each week,
Sharon.
That's true.
That's absolute true.
Survival mode. I think I also, like a fan like you are, not really realizing possibly why a lot of older people don't, you know, appear on Big Brother and other reality shows. After experiencing it myself, I would have a little more insight on that. I'm not sure if CBS shares my opinion, but I feel like anybody who has a family at home, who is married, who has grandchildren, who has a lot at home, you know, just you're not single, you're not ready to mingle and all that business, and you don't have people that rely on you and that you rely on them, you know. And so maybe that's why people of my age don't necessarily always get casted. I don't know. That's just my opinion, because being in there and being away from my family, being separated, it really begins to take its toll. At least it did on me. And I think also being in the house with Kenny, you know,
with Kenny, yeah,
he missed his family terribly, that so much so that it was rubbing off on me. I was like, ah, stop it. Because I was really thinking of my family even more.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Well, speaking of, I do want to touch on, because obviously you've been on Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, stuff like that. Did any of that prepare you for Big Brother? It was like totally different.
No. We're talking a daytime game show that is literally your 30 minutes, right? This is 90 days and even more because of sequester and things like that. So no, it doesn't prepare you at all. And I know I've read through some of what people have said, and I've watched some things, and they're like, oh, this woman's just been on so many shows on CBS. And again, that's where that plant comes from. But I'm here to tell you, no, that all came by very, very honestly, because my sister really loved Dancing with the Stars. And so she really wanted tickets. So I did everything I could to try and find out how we could get tickets, went online. I applied for the tickets. There's a huge wait list, but then we got this email from Let's Make a Deal that said simply show up in a costume that is not copyrighted and win your chance to get on stage, and you get free VIP tickets to Dancing with the Stars. How can I pass that up? So I was like, yes, let's do it. I had never watched the show. And so I went on YouTube. I figured it out really quick. You just have to be yourself and let your crazy out a little. And so that's what I did. And I got chosen, and I thought, this is so easy. So I asked casting, how often can I do this? And they're like, years. I said, see you in 2 years. Like, awesome. I did it in 2 years. And I just did. That's all it is that it just came by honestly. It really, really did.
Got it. I mean, you're not the only one who's been on TV. There's a couple of you on the cast.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, okay. So you got on the show. What did you have a game plan going in? Were you like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z? Or were you like, let me feel it out? What was the vibe going in?
You know, every single person that goes on the show has a strategy or two. However, when you're going through those doors and you're meeting everybody, it's kind of almost like strategy kind of goes out the window a bit, because everyone's coming in there too with their motives and how they're going to apply those towards their strategies. And honestly, you have no idea how you might feel the emotions and just the way that people rub you. And, you know, my strategy, Sharon, just to be very clear with you, is that I had two. And then one was, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I wanted to align myself with strong, physically strong people, because I thought, I don't know how I'll fare. I've watched the show. Obviously, I know how some of these challenges go. And so I wanted to either align myself with them or get them gone so that I could compete and not have that competition. And somewhat of that strategy worked, because I arguably so, Matt is definitely a physical competitor. And also arguably so, Tucker is definitely a physical competitor. And I did align with him for quite a while. So it kind of worked for me a bit, that strategy. The other strategy that I had coming in was that I really just wanted to be authentically myself. And you know, my kids will tell you, I embarrass them. I love on them hard. I am their cheerleader. I am very vulnerable as far as showing my love for people. And I am a people person. And I do tend to love people fast, especially if I see that they're great. And I want to have a friendship or whatever. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to be somebody that no one could even think about putting on the block, which we all
I don't know if you did that, Angela.
Did not work. But I still felt like I fought my way tooth and nail to get bonded with people. And if it worked for me to sometimes, you know, act emotional and cry, I would. And I was asked that question on an exit interview, and I said, no, I should have been more honest about that. That's really the only thing I lied about, was that I said no, because I was so worried about what people would think. But yes, I did use and play on people's emotions with, you know, crying, because I can do that pretty easily. Also, I did cry naturally, though, because I was so emotionally like missing my family. And it was a pressure cooker the entire time. It was a pressure cooker, but still in the best way possible.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there are other people who have done this before. We play on people's, this part of the game. I know some people get very like, well, you shouldn't be doing this. And it's like, there are no rules, right? It's like your own moral compass. You do what you have to do to win. So,
yeah.
But you mentioned also like the competitions, funny enough, like, because previously, obviously it's been very sort of male heavy and like the certain prototype always winning. But this season, I feel like the women sort of dominated, especially toward the end game, which was amazing.
Isn't that just amazing? I love it. I've watched back a lot of the season now, and I'm just like, I'm so impressed with the strength and the tenacity these women have this season. And I get to be a part of that group. And so I feel really, really lucky. Yeah, it's been these women, let me tell you, amazing.
I was going to ask you that, like, had you watched the show back, what have been your thoughts so far? How is it watching you back on TV? Like,
oh, Sharon. Oh my gosh. Yes. I was too paranoid. I let it get the best of me. I really did. And shoot. Oh gosh. Shot myself in the foot way too many times. But you know the show, if an alliance is named, I'll just start with week one. And if alliance is named and you're not in that room, it doesn't exist. And so I really felt that that was fake, but I didn't take an accountability that those young men knew that I was stressed, that I was going through an emotional roller coaster, if you will, and that I needed somebody to kind of take the reins and help out in those moments. And I just didn't believe them. And I got, you know, the paranoia set in. And I've read a lot too, that people say I was paranoid. Absolutely. I was paranoid. Absolutely. And sadly enough,
it's natural.
Some things that I kind of thought or said out loud were actually happening, you know, they were. Darn, like, it, for putting that TV in the HOH room, it drove me batty.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so getting the veto used on you three times was wild. How was, like, watching it was wild, but how was it in the moment every time that veto was, you know, used on you?
Okay. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. When Tucker won that veto challenge and he did that whole thing, I love biscuits, whatever. I love puzzles. He came up to me and gave me this huge bear hug and whispered in my ear, I won that for you. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I didn't believe him. Again, the paranoia. I did not believe the man. And so we walked back.
I mean, who would?
What's that?
I said, who would believe that? No, like, oh, no, you're really going to use the veto?
No. And I mean, I'm a fan. I know that people don't generally do that, especially because he'd still be on the block. And so when he put that around my neck, I just literally, I mean, the emotions were there, raw and true to the nature of how I was feeling. I was overwhelmed with such disbelief and happiness and just, I'm safe. I get to get off the block and I get to go sit. I get to vote. Like, what? It was amazing. It was amazing. And then with Leah using it, I didn't ask her for it. Even if, you know, feeds are cut, I never once asked her for it. I didn't want my relationship with Leah to be transactional. So I never asked for it. I didn't want to put her in a position where she could be looked at as, you know, non-loyal or a threat to anybody because she was already building relationships with Quinn. And so I didn't really want to ruin that for her, but she played it and she used her heart and she did it. And I could never thank her enough for that because it allowed me to continue my game. I could have very well gone home each time if that veto hadn't been used. And then Mackenzie using it on me again, I was shocked. I was shocked and so thankful.
Yeah. And you won your own veto and you won two HOHs. So you didn't do too bad for yourself.
I did. And I felt so good to give that to Chemo. And if I can, I would love to clear up because I don't know if I've been able to address it.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
When I voted for Chemo to go home, obviously against Quinn and Joseph, I did that out of respect and loyalty to Leah because Leah gave me a veto. And I had told her when she gave that to me, and honestly, she wasn't going to hold me to it. But I said, I will vote with you. You have two votes because I so appreciate you doing that for me. And it, to me, it didn't matter who it was. Of course, it was very painful for me to name Chemo, but ultimately he didn't go home. So that's wonderful. But that is why I did that. But my feelings for Chemo still remain to this day. He is a very, very great guy and I adore him and I never really wanted to see him go home. But he didn't play a veto on me. Leah did. So, you know, I had to do that.
Yeah, I think people are surprised, but I guess that does make sense. With Leah, would you say she's the closest person you got like or on the cast or Akeem? Like who are you closest with, would you say?
Well, at different times it felt differently, you know, who you'd be closer to. I guess I would definitely have to say Leah, but I definitely felt very, very close with Tucker as well and Chemo, but I never felt like I was his number one, which I wasn't. And I understood that. So I guess with my heart and being receptive and things, I think that I felt more of reciprocation from Leah. So that's why I would have to say Leah.
Well, that makes sense.
And also know that, and I would love to say this too, is that I really did absolutely adore Mackenzie. I still do.
Wait, really?
I really do. Even after what I've seen and heard. Yeah.
What's going on there? You guys haven't sort of connected after the show?
We did actually. We did connect, not at the first after party, but the second after party that was more private at Blue's rooftop, gorgeous venue where she lives. Mackenzie did come up to me and she apologized to me for anything that I might hear or see on live feed footage or on the show. And I just basically told her, you know what, Mackenzie, honestly, it's a game and everyone is under so much pressure in there. And we're going to say and do things that we normally wouldn't probably do like out in real life. And so please don't, I don't worry about it. I said, the only thing that I felt kind of sad about is that she had mentioned, I don't know if it was live feeds or television, that she didn't want me to meet her parents. And, when we were at finale night on the stage, I looked out into the audience and I knew who her parents were because I'd seen a picture in her HOH room. And so I looked over at them and I smiled several times and I was excited to get to meet her parents and tell them how awesome their daughter was and how I just adore her. And I think she's such a competitor and she was just so fun to have on the show. And so that was the only thing I told her. And she was like, she was very, very sorry about saying that. She expressed to me that a lot of what she said was game related. And it was for show. So again, I told her I hold no ill will or feelings about what she said. Whatever happened in that house, I completely understand. And I'm fine with it. So I still do love and care about her. And I would have loved to have seen her, Leah, and myself go to the end. I think that would have been kind of cool. But it just didn't, the cards weren't there. And that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough with these relationships. I mean, she definitely was hard on you at the end. But I also feel like you said, you're in there and you're kind of just bitching about everything and you're sick of people and you're at the end of the game. Like, it does happen, but I'm glad you guys got to connect a little bit. I mean, is there like a group chat or are there more like side text chats?
Oh, there's definitely a huge group chat with all of us in there. I don't know who everyone is. Sometimes I have to guess because I don't have their number saved in my phone. But we also have side chats, I'm sure, because I do.
Yeah. Matt or Lisa or how, anything there? Are you guys good or not really?
Also, Matt and I, we hung out at the rooftop thing at Blues as well. And he, you know, I think he really is a great guy. I think the problem is that he doesn't know the show completely and he didn't take into respect that I'm an HOH and I have the ability now to name another person to go up. And he was so, he kind of reminds me of myself in some aspects because he's so passionate, like when he speaks, and he is very he's animated, very, very animated. I'll use that word. He's very animated. And so I don't think he realized just how perceptive I was to how what he was saying and everything that was going on. And I think I'll say just the way Chelsea said it, the people at home didn't get to see everything because live feeds are cut and, you know, not everything is televised. So we'll just leave it at that. So
oh, God,
not so bad, I promise. But I think he's great. And we had a long conversation. He was hanging out with my kids and talking, and he was wanting me to go and do battles with him or whatever online, which I'm not into that kind of thing. So I'm not going to do that.
Don't do TikTok battles, Angela. Yeah, I'm not gonna, please.
No, I can't do that. But he's really a nice guy, and yeah, I can see him having a really bright, wonderful future. Very much.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice to, you don't have to be friends with everyone, but to have like a cordial relationship with people, you know.
Yeah. I feel like we do, and I had asked him to stop calling me a bully and labeling me a bully. And he said, done, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we had a good talk. We had a talk about, you know, everything. And I feel like we left the conversation in a good place. We even took a picture together, he and I and Mackenzie, and I posted it. Like, I feel really good. I feel very blessed, honestly, to have had the characters in the house. And I sometimes had thought back and forth and had regret about everything that went down that first week. But at the same time, like, it was emotion. And that's why we watch the show, because we want to see people go through this emotional roller coaster of how this amazing, iconic reality show where people of all different walks of life are getting together and somehow have to make it work or not work. And so with that being said, I think it was just a beautiful disaster. Everything happened for a reason. Even being nominated every single time and being the pawn and being in survival mode almost every single week, but maybe two or three. It was the story. It was what needed to be told. And looking back at it now, it's like, it made for wonderful television, obviously. And it was, yeah. It's a beautiful disaster.
I mean, I have no complaints about that first week, Angela. I was glued to my TV. Usually that kind of stuff happens later in the game, but right. maybe it was because, you know, you were the first HOH, and this always happens where like recruits take like a week or two, or not even recruits, but people who aren't big fans to sort of get up to speed on what's going on. And so, yeah, maybe he just wasn't expecting that so soon.
No. Do you know what actually went down with that whole scenario? Cause I don't think my husband said he didn't see it on live feeds, and I didn't see it on the episode, but I had told Matt, I had a one-on-one with him shortly after that by like a couple of days, I think it was. And we kind of came to a heads that I would not put him up if Noms had stayed the same or whatever, if he didn't win veto, whatever. Like, I wasn't going to put him up if he could find a replacement, because everyone's expecting me to put him up. And I was lying the entire time. There was no way I wasn't putting him up. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll find somebody. And he asked Tucker to do it. And Tucker and I had a private conversation after, and I'm like, I can't believe you had the audacity to ask you, but this is so brilliant. This is awesome. And he's like, I don't want to do it. And I said, and I'm not going to have you do it, because I'm going to put him up. And he's like, yeah, do that. We'll just pretend that I'm going up until the actual ceremony. And I'm like, perfect. So he was expecting me to not put him up and put Tucker up. So I thought it was kind of cool. That's why he had that shocked look on his face when I put him up.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it's just iconic, to be honest.
It's great.
Have you seen, I'm sure you've seen like the memes and the GIFs. They were so good, Angela. Some of them were so good.
I freaking love it. I've watched probably every single one of them about, you know, and they're wearing the shirt and they're like, I want to have fun with everyone but you. Like all of the things, all in that one thing are all of these memes in just that one episode where I kind of, you know, let it all out. Yes, I love it.
People dressed up as you for Halloween.
I know, Sharon, it's crazy. But I have to tell you what I did today. I kind of put it out there on TikTok and Instagram is that I am auctioning off that blue and white striped blouse. It went on eBay today, and 100% of the proceeds are going to the animal shelter. So that way, I mean, that shirt brought me a lot of luck. I would love for it in turn to bring the animals a lot of luck and get these babies home for the holidays. So hopefully that money will go towards all the adoption fees and all of that stuff. Aww. So, and spay and neutering on all of that. So can I give a quick shout out on the number of that eBay item? And it'll be on auction until November 25th. And it kind of is labeled Big Brother 26 Iconic Blouse. And then the number is 3059-111-60954. And it's going to be ASPC. I'm not going to collect any of the money. I hope it goes and fetches a great amount for these animals. I will be so, so happy. So that was that little blurb I wanted to put out there.
Of course. Everyone go bid on it.
Thank you.
It's a good cause. Okay. Well, what else do I want to? Oh, I want to talk about jury. Tell me about jury. We see clips and stuff, but any fun stories or memories, like who were you hanging out with the most in jury?
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I think we all just hung out together. And I never felt like it felt so different from being in the Big Brother house. We no longer were trying to kick anybody. And so we all just kind of hung out. We would sit at the dining room table for hours, and we would make friendship bracelets for like everybody in production, everybody for finale night. And we would also play like card games that were so much fun with the house managers. We would go into the theater room and catch up on, Lee and I would watch Sex and the City and Love is Blind and all kinds of fun shows. Just really, it was a time for us all to just decompress and get to know one another. I felt like Quinn shared some really wonderful things and I just felt closer to him. And then we, one night, oh, this is the fun part. One night we all went up to Quinn's room. He had the best room in the house, by the way. He had the big, you know, primary suite with the beautiful large.
Well, he was the first one in there, right?
Yeah. So he had the best of the best, baby. It was great. And so he invited us all to go up to his room and tell scary stories. Mind you, it's already like 2 in the morning. And so we all go up there, and he had the little, we turned off all the lights. He had the little flashlight here. Yeah. And he told some stories that were so scary, like real things that have gone down. And I'm just like, I got to go to bed in a minute. I don't even like to watch scary movies, let alone like, listen, but I wanted to like be with them. I knew that these moments were never going to happen again. And I wanted to bask in this experience of being with these people, because they really mean a lot to me. Like all of them, I don't care who you are, even Lisa, they all mean something to me. And the house guests will ever know this season what everything encompassed and how it feels. And it's a story. It's our story. And it's so special and unique to any other season. So I wanted to enjoy the jury house, and I did. I floated around in that pool and just took up the sunshine. And there was a hillside right in the backyard that I'm a rule breaker, Sharon. So I climbed that hillside and nobody knew. I climbed up there, and it's just outside the gate, but it's attached to the property. And I was able to overlook the city, and I just stood up there and I opened my arms up and I said, what's next for me? I just had the biggest dream come true, literally. And I got to last and went out 6th place. What's next for me? And I got very emotional and overwhelmed, and my body just got all the chills. And I'm like, I know what it is. I know what I'm going to do. But I'm one that doesn't just talk the walk. I walk the talk. So I can say what I want. And I'm going to internalize it. I'm going to manifest it. And it will come to fruition. Like, it's going to happen for me. So
Angela, yeah. I don't have a doubt. I don't have a doubt.
Thank you, Sharon.
I have a couple more questions. Obviously, you ended up voting for Chelsea. Everyone did. You know, from a viewer standpoint, with like the jury segments and the roundtable, it seemed like maybe you were not going to vote for her. But like, I guess what was your thoughts going into the finale about your vote?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Well, obviously, I mean, I told you how much I care about Mackenzie. I really, really do. And Chelsea, you know, she played Big Brother. She had told Leah, fabricated a storyline that I didn't say. And so I kind of held on to that for a brief moment. And I felt, kind of upset by that, to lack of better words. I was just feeling upset by it. But when you really think about it, and it comes down to, she played Big Brother. And of course she is going to lie. It's what I lied, and everybody lied. And so I can't take that personal, because it's part of the game. So driving to the finale night after, you know, obviously the round table and the things that were said there, I went home after round table, actually, and really, I didn't go home. I went to the, you know, sequester. Yeah. And I thought about it, and I thought, gosh, I wish I had said something better there. But you're so caught off guard because of how gorgeous Taylor is. And she's hosting instead of Will.
She looked stunning.
She was freaking, and she smelled beautiful. Like, she was beautiful. Like, it's not just TV magic. She truly is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so I just was not really thinking things through. And obviously I'm excited to be there. But what I needed to say there is that, yes, Chelsea played the game. She lied, and that's part of it. And she didn't do it in such a way that was malice. You know, she just played the game. But I went back, I thought it through. And then on the way to finale night, I thought, I need to do what's right, depending on who's sitting up there. Because at that point, I didn't know what pair would be sitting next to each other. But I definitely played out the scenario. And each time it just came up, if Chelsea were sitting there in final two, it would have to be her. because she played a more rounded game. It was just comps, and she did win quite a bit. It was also her social game and her strategic moves that got her, in my mind, to that spot, and that she would be, ultimately be the winner.
What about the Leah eviction and sort of like, you know, and MJ obviously was like thinking that's her move. She mentions it in her speech. I think Chelsea sort of undercut her, like, I kind of told you to do that. So yeah, did that not help Mackenzie's case when she said that?
I don't think it helped Mackenzie, because I think everyone on jury pretty much knew that it was Chelsea's move, because I know that ultimately Mackenzie has to say it, yes. You know, she does, and nobody can make her do it. So she can take ownership that way. But I also know how much she loves Leah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that she would have ever thought to put Leah up there ahead of myself, Chemo, and Rubina. Like, no. She had to have influence. She definitely had influence, because Mackenzie and I even had a one-on-one before she put Leah up. This was late at night. She told me she's putting Leah up. I'm devastated. I can't believe it. And I'm asking her why. And she's basically saying to me, because Leah wants Chelsea out. And because Leah is, making finals with other people other than her. And I'm just like, I don't think so. I know she doesn't want Chelsea there, but neither of us do, because we know it's coming between our three, you know.
She shouldn't want Chelsea there either.
Yeah. So I literally, I couldn't. She goes, don't tell her, Angela. This is Mackenzie. Don't tell her. Like, I'm trusting you. I am like, oh, I'm torn. I am, you know, I love my Leah. So I literally just went straight downstairs into bed and put the blanket over my head and cried. I could not, and real tears, by the way, I could not believe she was doing that. And there was nothing that I could do to stop it. The wheels were already in motion.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Was there anything Mackenzie could have said in that finale, do you think, to change the outcome?
No. As much as I love her and think she is deserving as well, it's just that Chelsea had more of the strategic role going in, you know, to finale night. I think obviously it was unanimous. We all felt that way. So there's just, you know, the only thing I do regret is I wish that when I had that one-on-one with Mackenzie before she put Leah up, is that I would have really honed in on how much I think that it would be so unpredictable and so wonderful if she took Leah and I, if we took each other to the end, and that if I could have conveyed to her how much of a threat Chelsea was and shown her to look in the mirror at how Chelsea has been navigating this game, and she could take ownership. Her resume is looking sweet, chef's kiss. And so I wish I could have taken better ownership of that conversation and convinced her otherwise. But shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And I
didn't. You don't know if that would have worked, because I don't know.
Yeah, and I was, afraid of Chelsea. I'm going to be honest. I was afraid of her because I knew.
She's smart.
I honestly went, I knew going downstairs after I had I fabricated a bit of a story. It was easy to do because it was kind of happening in a way that people were meeting late at night. It was the whole thing with Quinn and Leah and T-Core and Rubina and Chemo when they were all downstairs late at night. And I decided I was going to tell Chelsea that Quinn had orchestrated this amazing final five, and she wasn't a part of it. That far outweighs her final three, right? You got five, you got three. And she got so spooked that Quinn went home. Quinn went home over me. I was like, yes, that was my move. Like that was me planting the seed in Chelsea's mind that she wasn't safe if she allowed Quinn to stay in the house. So I take ownership of that. And I at no time was trying to hurt Leah, because I definitely did say, and you can roll back tape, that, you know, it was Quinn that was orchestrating it, not Leah.
Yeah.
But it saved me another week.
Angela, who do you think you would have beat in the final two, or who could you not have beat if you actually got there? What do you think?
I think if Chelsea and I were sitting next to each other, it would be a draw. Like, I think it would be really, really, really hard. And some might say, you just, Angela, you didn't make the best of relationships in that house. Are you kidding me? I freaking loved on everybody super hard in that house. I really did. Even though I knew they didn't necessarily like me. And trust me, I knew people's true feelings. I still loved on them hard. I didn't care. I think it would be hard for people to decide because, you know, Chelsea has a lot of great attributes and so do I. So it would have been hard. I think it would have been hard toss up.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to ask you, and I had to, because it was a funny moment, obviously, during jury when you, in front of Quinn, was like, Leah and Quinn, ha, ha, ha. Was that awkward in the moment? Because it felt awkward, but I don't know if it was like more lighthearted when you're actually talking about it. What was the vibe?
I think it was awkward, and I think it was more awkward because people took it a different way than the way I meant it. Mm. I meant it because I felt Leah and I had discussions about Quinn. You know, we have, and whether or not, you know, she would consider, you know, something sparking there or whatever. And she never, ever told me that she thought until later, after this was all brought out, that she could see something going in a spark, rather. I'll just say a spark. And so I was shocked because I thought, why wouldn't she tell me? No, Leah. Not like no to Quinn, like, you know, he's not good enough for her. Absolutely not. Because I think he is amazing. And
I love Quinn.
He's easy to look at. He is. And everything about him is just, he has a spark. He does. Mm-hmm. He has something. He has that something you can't pinpoint, but he has it. So my reaction wasn't because of that it's Quinn and anything else appearance wise, like some people have thought. Absolutely not. My thing was that Leah, you didn't tell me. No. That's what that was. And so I wish that I had said that and my reaction would have been better, but I was acting out of fear of pure being shocked. I was shocked by this. Shook it, like she might say.
So it was more like, cause she never told you or like,
she never told me.
Made an inclination. No, okay. No.
And I thought when Mackenzie had told me that she had Quinn's sweater was a complete fabrication. That can't be possible. Leah had plenty of time to tell me any of these things, but she never shared them. So I was shocked because I felt like we told each other like everything. Well, everything. So she didn't. And so that was the reaction. And yes, it was awkward. And I think it was because Quinn took it differently than what I intended. And sometimes I'm human, Sharon, and sometimes my intentions don't always come forth the way that I am feeling them, if that makes sense.
Okay. We all suffer from that sometimes.
Yeah. But no, I adore Quinn so much. And he's such a fan of the show. And it broke my heart to see him go because he loves the show just as much as I do. Maybe more. He just does. And I hope he gets another opportunity to get back in there and play his game. Because I think he would be he's probably learned some lessons not to make finals with final twos with freaking everybody. Like, oh, so he might change and be different. I don't know. Or maybe he loves Survivor. Maybe we joked about him going on Survivor. So maybe, you know, he'll get another opportunity. I know he will. He'll get another opportunity to do something. I can't wait. And I'll be at home watching on the edge of my seat.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Angela, you lasted 73 days in there. Would you play Big Brother again?
If you'd asked me a week afterwards, I'd have said no, but I would. Okay. I would. And I think I'd have an advantage in the way that anybody watching knows that I'm very freaking loyal. I am. And even though it looked like I wasn't, it was because that freaking paranoia set in, which I wouldn't allow to happen again. And I would get plenty of beauty rest. Get my sleep out. I dare anybody to go 4 to 5 days without any sleep. Oh my gosh, that was a lot. So I would do it again. I would do it again. And I can say that with the utmost what am I looking for to say here? Like, I am taking the reins and I am taking ownership of that. I am a strong woman, and I proved it not only to my family and my friends that I can compete in things with people that are D1 athletes and win. And I know they weren't the ones that I won, weren't physical, but still nonetheless, people that are half my age. And I can say that I have the strength and the courage now to do big things in my life without relying on other people. So
Angela, you were very impressive with your win. So don't downplay yourself. Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can I clear up one more thing just because I know people might listen to this? When I was sitting, I don't remember if it was the round table or the jury house when I said that that Cam was not D1. I never got to follow through with the rest of my point. Somebody had asked me something like, you know, what I think about Cam's game or whatever. And I said, he's definitely not D1 or however I said it. I didn't get to really follow up my point. My point being was, you know, kind of jokingly, like he can't be D1 if he wasn't winning anything. And I didn't get to put that out there. So that was kind of what that was about. And it wasn't like trying to like poke fun at Cam because he is D1 athlete. And he stood there the 10 hours on the pressure cooker with Leah and myself. And so he is a D1 athlete. It's just some of these challenges, whether he chose not to win them or whatever his strategy was, I know he's a D1 athlete and he's physically fit and he could have won some of those challenges.
Well, thank you for clearing it up. I think, you know, everyone was sort of poking fun at, like, he's got to be throwing it, right? Like, I've given him shit for it. So don't, you know, it's all good.
Do you know what his coaches at Penn State did? They reached out to me through Cameo, Sharon, and asked me to roast him. I'm like, I can't do this. What are you doing this to me? But yeah.
Did you do it?
I did. But I was
Oh, God, I got to go watch it.
I wasn't too bad. I wasn't too bad. I can't do that to him.
Cam can take a joke. I've talked to Cam. He can take a joke. He's a nice guy.
You know what I love about him and watching some things back is that he was in rooms where things were being said that weren't necessarily game related, kind of like low blows to other people. And he never really, he didn't participate in it. You know what I mean? And so lots of respect there, lots and lots of respect for him in that aspect. Totally. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Any other shows you would do? Survivor, Amazing Race?
Oh, they'd have to ask me and we'll see. I don't know. I love Survivor. I love Amazing Race. I love, oh gosh, what's the new one in where it takes place in the castle in Ireland?
Traitors.
Yes. I love
that's your show, Angela. I think you got to do that show.
All of these shows. And as you know, I'm kind of, that's my guilty pleasure is reality TV. So I love all of them. They're iconic. And if I were ever invited, I would never say never.
Who would be your Amazing Race partner though?
I don't know.
If it was someone from your cast, who do you think you'd be good with?
Well, obviously I love Leah. Yeah. So, you know, that goes without saying.
Okay. Well, Angela, I mean, what's next for you? What can you tease? What do you want to do? I mean, I got to know.
Oh, well, I am going back to work. You know, I'm a real estate agent, so I'll be going back to work and even through the holidays because I've already got people calling me. So
maybe it's good, right? For your real estate business.
Yeah, these are repeat clients though. They're like, where have you been, woman? And so I'm like, I got to get back to work and back to my reality here at home. What's next for me? I don't want to give away. Like I said, I have a dream. I have a goal and I don't want to give it away because I'm not a talker. I like to do, I like to show. And so I've got to hold that here and I have to do it. And then I'll talk with you later after I do it. But I'm going to do it.
And you're keeping the door open for opportunities, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This, Sharon, I always say, life is not a rehearsal. You don't get a do-over. Get it done. Go after it. It's not come knocking at your door. You better go after it. And if you can't get in the door, break a window and get in. So that's my motto and I'm sticking to it.
I love it, Angela. Thank you so much. You took so much time to chat with me today and it was lovely chatting with you.
I'm so excited I got to do it. I'm completely honored. I'm a fan. I adore you. And I thank you so much for all your commentary. Even if it's some little digs at me, I don't mind it. I love it. I'm here for it. And I thank you.
I was getting shit for being a fan of yours on Twitter, Angela. So
were you?
I was like, guys, Angela's great TV. I know, like, oh, she's hurt someone's feelings. Like, you're in a pressure cooker in there. I would be going crazy. So,
yeah,
it is what it is.
It is. And no worries. I know you're a fan. I thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Angela. Like, again, you're amazing. Please come back and chat with me anytime. And I hope to see you on TV soon.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Sharon.